Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, will check in very briefly in a minute with Congressman Anthony Weiner of Brooklyn and Queens on the health care debate. He was last here, last week, as you may have heard, endorsing the idea of a Medicare buy-in for people 55 and over as even better than the public option insurance plan because Medicare is real single-payer health care, which he supports. That idea, of course, seems to have died this week at the hands of Senator Lieberman, plus all 40 Senate Republicans. And it's kind of odd in that just a few months ago, Senator Lieberman was supporting a Medicare buy-in. I want to play you a 60-second clip of Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut. This is from September 8th of this year, in a recorded interview with the Connecticut Post, proposing an expansion of Medicare.
My proposals were to basically expand the existing successful public health insurance programs, Medicare and Medicaid. In the case of Medicaid, to allow people who were above the eligibility level to buy into the Medicaid system on the theory that it would be up to a certain income limit and the theory that they would be able to buy into it at less than the market rate of health insurance. When it came to Medicare, I was very focused on a group post 50, maybe post more like post 55, people who have retired early or unfortunately been laid off early, who lose their health insurance and they're too young to qualify for Medicare. And what I was proposing was that they have an option to buy into Medicare early. And again, on the premise that that would be less expensive.
So Senator Lieberman discussing his past proposals to let people buy into both Medicare and Medicaid. That's a longer version of some shorter clips you may have heard elsewhere, but there's a full 60 seconds of it. Congressman Anthony Weiner does join me now. Hi, Congressman. And first, what do you make of Senator Lieberman's flip-flop? Any idea what happened there?
Well, when he was asked this week, he said something that was enough to make your head spin. He said that because I, and he also pointed to a Yale professor who had first come up with the idea of a public option, because the two of us had expressed such enthusiasm about the idea that he decided that he didn't want it anymore. Let's remember something. The Medicare buy-in was a compromise from the position that many senators held in favor of a public option, which was itself a compromise. But it was proposed by Senator Lieberman, and the purpose of it was to secure Senator Lieberman's vote. So right now we have seen another example of how the strangest forces are tying up health care reform. You remember we spent a month doing a dance trying to figure out how to get Olympia Snow to support it. Now we're watching as Senator Lieberman flips and flops back and forth on his own positions. But it's very frustrating because we have kind of seen not the majority party in the House and Senate and a newly elected president drive this debate. We've watched as almost fringe elements, because of the narrow margins in the Senate and in the House, have dominated this discussion. And I'm not sure the outcome is going to be what a lot of American people want.
Lieberman, in that clip, did speak in the past tense. My proposals were to basically expand the existing, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know how long ago those were?
Unequivocally supported the idea in September. It wasn't a long time ago. Now, he did also support a similar proposal back in 2000, and he has since said, well, in 2000 it was a little bit different, but it doesn't explain why he had changed his position from September when he had said it, I think, to the Hartford Current. Look, I think that this is bordering on egotism at this point with Senator Lieberman. It's very regrettable that when you're dealing with this giant issue, which affects so many Americans, that it seems like this is about the senator and his and the whim of the day. And the only reason why Senator Lieberman has so much power here is because we've kind of seeded the playing field. And I've been pretty critical of the president for allowing these things to kind of meander through the legislative process rather than fully advocating for what the president would like in these bills. Because what we've really done is outsource the decision-making to people like Senator Lieberman.
So the question is, what happens now? Yesterday we talked about Howard Dean suggesting that you all kill the Senate bill. Of course, it takes senators to kill the Senate bill, but then start from scratch, that no bill is better than the compromise version that may be emerging. Here is Howard Dean on Good Morning America.
I think at this point, the bill does more harm than good. I don't believe there's going to be the money around in 5 years because the insurance companies are charging so much. The pre-existing conditions piece, where which is disappeared essentially, because you can this fine print in this bill allows the insurance companies to charge you three times as much if you're older than they do if you're younger. This is an insurance company's dream. This bill, and I think it's gone too far. It's a shame, but bad decisions were made along the way, and now we're in the last week of this. And this is the Washington scramble, and I think it's ill-advised.
So, Congressman Wiener, as a single-payer advocate, are you ready to take Howard Dean's advice?
Well, I would agree with him about the Senate bill. I do believe we've got to make sure we don't make the perfect the enemy of the good. But I also believe that the Senate, that Howard Dean is not wrong, that we are, if not at the tipping point, over it with the Senate bill. A lot of the important things that we had in the House bill, the public option, having a true protection against banning people for pre-existing conditions and the like, we faced three substantial setbacks to go with the ones that are buried in the fine print. We've lost on a woman's right to choose. We've lost on in the Senate bill on the notion of having health insurance plans taxed rather heavily, which would disproportionately hurt New York City and high-cost areas. And obviously, we've lost on the public option and its compromise Medicare buy-in. So then buried beneath it, there is questions about whether the subsidies are going to be enough to contain costs. I think that what we really have now is an argument between two positions. One you heard Governor Dean make, and the other is, you know, let's get something up on the board and then grow it. The problem with that latter argument, which the White House makes, is that we had Medicare passed 44 years ago, and every bit of the debate at that time was similar to what it is today. And people said, all right, we'll just cover people 65 and older, but we'll come back later on and grow it. And we've seen how difficult it is to grow. And you also see something else. If people perceive this as not really helping them, as I've said to you previously, or not really containing costs, I don't think we're going to get another bite at the apple. But Howard Dean speaks for a lot of progressive members in the House. So I think that what they've gotten by getting Senator Joe Lieberman and his capricious decision making on board might have lost them the votes in the House.
So I got to go, but up or down? If the bill gets through the Senate with no public option, and it gets through the Senate with the Ben Nelson abortion restrictions, would you vote yes or no?
I'm not taking the Senate bill. We're going to go into a conference. Hopefully, we're going to get back to closer where the House is. We're not taking the Senate bill. That Senate bill should not become law.
Congressman Anthony Weiner of Brooklyn and Queens, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, it's our holiday party gurus, Tamara and Zora, on your holiday food traditions. That includes your old holiday food traditions and the ones you might have made up last week. Stay with us.